weren't here this morning. I don't believe there's very many of that weren't, maybe two or three, but I'm going to continue on tonight where we left off this morning. There's no way this is an inexhaustible message. You couldn't preach it all in a week, 2 weeks, probably 3, 4 weeks. There's no way you could go on with this for a long time. But I felt like that there were some other things I wanted to deal with. And Sister Vonette come to me after service and said, how did that end? Those stories, you never did tell the end of that. Well, amen. I'll get to that here in a moment. Amen. But if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And these are very familiar passages to us that know the Bible at all. Mark chapter 5. Amen. We're going to look at this man of Gadara for just a moment, and then we're going to move on. There are so many scriptures. You cannot hardly turn the page in the Gospels without reading about somebody somewhere being delivered from a devil. Yeah. Amen. It's all throughout the Gospels. It was a common thing in the New Testament church. It has become almost a thing of the past today, but in that day it was not something that was abnormal. Amen. We would think of a service where somebody was having demons cast out of them as something abnormal, but that was normal procedure in the Pentecostal church, the early church. Amen. And that was common in Christ's ministry. This is how far we've drifted from a Christ-centered ministry, amen, where we are today. And I will get into maybe, I feel like, some of the reasons why we are the way we are today. I'll deal with that in a moment. But first off, I want us to begin here in Mark chapter 5. And they came over, verse number 1, to the other side of the sea under the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Amen. You notice the Bible never refers to them as clean. They're always unclean. Amen. Spirits are filthy. Amen. They're always unclean spirits. Amen. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he messed up a whole lot of Pentecostal people's theology. That's not what it says, but that's what he did. He ran and worshiped him. That messes up a lot of our theology. Amen. How many of you, I don't know how many of you have been around the exercising of a spirit, but in Pentecostalism, I've been around it, you know, all my life. I've seen it on and off for, you know, the many years. I've been in the ministry 22 years, and I've seen it, you know, on and off during that period of time. It's not a common thing. Like I said a while ago, it's not something we see every service. It's not something we see every revival. We may go a year or 2 years, 5 years. Amen. We don't see this often. I can remember years ago, I was in a meeting. In fact, I believe it was the first revival I ever preached. Went 2 weeks, a little Church of God church there in central Illinois, a little place just outside of Bloomington. And we, in the middle of that revival, there was a young man who came into the service that night, and he came in late. We had done, had altar service, I'd done preached, and he walked into the building, and he come up to the pastor, and this young man seemed very anxious and kind of, you know, nervous, and he walked up to the preacher, and he said, are you the minister? And he said, yes, young man, I am. And he said, I am possessed with devils. And the boy probably wasn't 15, 16 years old, maybe at the most. And the pastor looked at him and said, you are you? And he said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I'd like to be delivered. He said, could you all pray for me? And so he said, well, service had done ended and church was over. This young man had walked in. Here we were in the middle of revival. He just walks in off the street asking to be delivered from demons. So we told him to come on in the back room. We went into the pastor's office, me and the deacons and the pastor. And one of the deacons looked at the young man and he said, he said, say the name of Jesus. And the young man looked at him and said, Jesus. He said, say it one more time, and he said it. He said, well, repeat this prayer, and he led him through a sinner's prayer, and he just rattled it off. And the deacon said, well, you don't have a devil. You can't. There's no way you can have a spirit and be able to say the name of Jesus. But this man, when he saw him, ran and worshiped him. That messes up all that theology, whatever, whoever started that a long time ago. I don't know where that come from, but I'm telling you, devil-possessed people not only can say the name of Jesus, they can worship him.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And many of them do. They sit in church with us. Amen. They worship. They'll raise their hands.
Right, right.
Amen. Like I said this morning, I've heard them shout. I've heard them speak in tongues. Amen.
Right.
I've seen them do what, you know, things that, you know, it looks genuine to us on the surface, but we have to have a supernatural gift to understand where it's coming from, called the gift of discernment. Like I said this morning, the gift nobody seems to want. Amen. The gift that gets a lot of us in trouble. When he saw him, Jesus, afar off, he ran and worshiped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all of the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down into a steep place into the sea. We all know this story. The Bible said about 2,000 were choked in that sea. What I want to get at is on down here about verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. This is talking about the people from the city came out, amen, seeing him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, amen. Devils are always interested in taking your clothes off.
That's
right. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I don't believe in that kind of holy. Demons are always interested in getting you, amen, to where you ain't got much on. That's their job. That's their interest.
That's right.
Amen. The Holy Ghost puts clothes on people. The demons and devils will take them off of you. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And like I said, well, I've talked about this morning, and this is still my message tonight, how we are either casting them out or we are accommodating them. It's one of the two. We are doing one or the other. Amen. As a church, as a body of believers, as a people, as a head of our homes, men, amen, amen, we're either casting them out or we're giving place to them. There is no middle ground. We're in a war. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and it's going to be the violent that take it by force. And either the violence of hell is going to overcome you or you're going to rise up. Amen. And you're going to take the authority that's given to you, amen, by the word of God. Amen. We have been given authority over all powers of hell, over all the powers of the enemy, that nothing should by any means hurt us. Amen. It is up to us to exercise that authority. Brother Tyrone mentioned this morning about the flesh and how the flesh, you know, we have to put it down and crucify. The flesh, amen, if you allow it to, will always side with the enemy if it's left unchecked. Amen. If it's left unchecked, it will always venture off in that direction. It must be crucified. It must be brought to nothing. It must be, amen, laid to rest, amen. It must be sanctified holy unto God, amen. Otherwise, it will give place to the devil. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that when they came out, they saw this man sitting there that was possessed. Amen. They saw, and verse 16, and they saw, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They cast Jesus out for casting demons out. I said this morning this is not popular because when the enemy is exposed, he is not very happy with that. Amen. Amen. You want to get the enemy riled up, you just pull the cloak off and expose him for who he is and what he is. What he is up to, amen, in our churches and in our homes and in our places of business. Hello, the devil's at work everywhere around us. When we pull the lid off and take a look at him, he's very uncomfortable. Because you and I then are faced with a decision. How are we going to deal with this?
That's right.
What are we going to do? Brother Tyrone, this is where the flesh comes in. It is either going to crucify and mortify the deeds of the body that it can live, or it's going to give in and give place to the devil. It's going to do one of the two. It is going to cast out the devil, amen, and resist the devil, or it is going to be overcome and overtaken and eventually possessed by the devil. You know, the road to devil possession is not necessarily an overnight thing. With some it is. But it's kind of like a cat and mouse game. You know, have you ever watched a cat play with a mouse? And, you know, amen, that cat, you know, he's so much larger than that small creature. There's times he'll let that mouse just kind of run around out in front of him. Amen. And he'll sit real still so that he's undetected. He might sit behind a tuft of grass or behind a bush, but he'll watch that mouse play, amen, there out before him in the yard. And, amen, finally that cat will make its move as that mouse gets ever closer and closer to his mortal enemy. Amen. That cat will finally pounce upon that mouse. But many times that cat won't just kill that mouse instantly. Amen. But that cat will just sit there. He may wound him slightly and then just let him go and watch him move around and play with him and pat him. You ever watch a cat take his paw and pat, you know, an animal that he's caught? And that mouse will run around. Amen. In front of that cat. He has some liberty, but it's limited liberty. Amen. And that mouse is wounded. But he's sitting there wounded and pray for his adversary. Amen. Not realizing that in a short time he's going to become a meal, amen, to his enemy. But the cat may take its time before he finally devours that young prey. That's how the devil works. He may allow you, say, well, Brother Troy, I've got by with you. You see, he's set baits and traps out. Amen. And we nibble a little bit here. We run back to the hole and we think, I've got by with it. But all the while, the enemy is right there. He's watching us. He's looking at us. And every once in a while, he takes a swipe at us and he plays around with us. But his intentions are to devour us.